Okay, well, it's 2 o'clock, so if there's no objection, I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. Okay, so first of all, we have to have approval of the agenda, so I'd like to move.
Second.
Okay, any additions to the agenda or any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Approval of the minutes? The minutes, I had a hard time finding the minutes.
I did too.
I always.
Okay. Does anyone who actually have the minutes have any objections to them?
If it helps the conversation, I'm just going to go with simple no.
Okay.
Did you read them? You know what we did for you?
No.
We reelected you.
Oh, yep.
President.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
You weren't here.
No wonder I didn't get the minutes.
You're not here. You guess what happened?
Well, now there'll be an objective vote. An objective.
You're right.
All right. I'd like to move for a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
I give you your chance.
Thank you very much. Okay. Consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a request is made prior to the time the board votes on the motion. So our consent agenda is the only thing we have is consideration of a 25-year longevity and merit increase for Margaret James.
I'd like a point of order before we seek approval or before we vote on approval. Did her review last Thursday. She did very well. It took an hour and a half. We talked about things great and small. I look forward to the year to come. We did. We scanned the horizon topically, and I look forward to another year, but she did well, and I think we were well served to have her. So I would move consent agenda as listed.
Okay. Give me a second.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, now this is the public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. I see no one that looks like they're from the public, so we'll move on. Okay, item 6.1, consideration of 2019 grants to counties contract. Authorized Board of Health Chair to sign on behalf of Board of Health. I tend to do that.
Yes,
please.
The document is not yet available.
Okay.
So instead of waiting 2 months to have you sign it, we'll just have you sign it as soon as it comes in.
Okay. So do we need a motion for that?
Yes.
Okay. So basically what she's talking about is I get these grants and I have to sign them. Mm-hmm. And I actually have figured out how to do it on the computer at this point, which took a lot of work. But I'm able to do it now.
Real progress.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. It's like, really? It took well, they walked me through it a few times. So what we need to do is we need to have a motion to allow the Board of Health Chair to sign on behalf of the Board of Health these contracts when they come through.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
None.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. All right. Now, one of our most lively topics, discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park. And this, and Margaret, this includes this, right? This memorandum?
That's Jerry's.
That's Jerry's, okay.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No.
Somebody do it. Okay. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Printed. I read it.
Oh, you read it.
I just read it.
What is it? Can I see that for a minute?
Okay. At the last Board of Health meeting, the board asked the Environmental Health Department and Planning and Development Department to go out to Crestview, assess the situation, try to identify how many mobile homes are still present, and also identify any violations. Margaret and I were out there two different times, the end of June, June 29. We also went out there July 27th to assess. The first time that we were there, the numbers were the same as the time that I was there in, at the end of May, I think it was May 23, there was 38 units. However, the last time that we were there, July 27th, there was a total of 23 units. So there's been some progress made, which is really promising.
The most ever we've seen, the most progress ever.
So 15 units from the end of June to the end of July have been removed. And as far as our department's involvement is, it's really tied to the temporary hoop building. The Board of Supervisors in January approved the permit with the condition that by the end of August, he have no more than 18 units, which is he's got to get down to five more by the end of August. And then by the end of November 29, he should have zero units.
Okay, so that's what his goal is, right?
That's the goal.
When going back to that hoop building real quickly, I noticed in your report he would not let you look at the hoop building.
Yeah, he was there the first time that Margaret and I were there in June. He was not there the second time. Both times it's kind of a fabric type material and it was buttoned up so you couldn't really see inside. I did ask him in June what was in there, and I don't remember exactly what he told me, but something to the effect that he couldn't discuss it, or do you recall
none of our business kind of thing.
Something.
Yeah.
But he has told me that there were like vehicles, personal vehicles in there, and his son's basketball hoop. So things that were not a part of the actual approval. It was supposed to be used for dismantling the hazardous material. And it looks like it hasn't been used for that purpose. So as far as our department is concerned, you know, when we look at that property, we really see six things. One deals with the dirt that's been brought in the southwest part of the property. When you're dealing with non-residential uses, you first have to ask the question about, you know, what's the intended use? Is it a use that's permitted? This is a commercial light industrial district. And then usually you would go through a site plan submittal process, followed up by zoning permits if they're needed. So we've got issues with the dirt that's been brought in. That's in the southwest part of the park. And then related to that is how it might impact erosion control, stormwater management. The decks that were in the southeast part of the site have been moved to the southwest part of the site. And there was a sign I can show you that he looks like he's trying to give those away. The fill dirt that was brought into, you know, to fill the lagoon, I was told that was for like a storage area. So something like that, we would ask for an updated site plan, preferably from an engineer. Again, the use of the hoop building, it looks like it hasn't been used for the intended purpose. And then, of course, there is pockets of junk and salvage material. Some of it, I think, is somewhat to be expected with the process that he's going through to remove some of this. We've got a few photos to show you. And then, of course, there's a few unlicensed and inoperable vehicles and semi-trucks.
Well, he can't fill in that lagoon, though, can he?
No, not yet. No.
Aren't the is just the trailer houses on the lagoon, or those houses over there, too?
There's that fourplex and the house, the rental house.
So he can't ever fill in that lagoon unless he puts in a septic system.
Yeah, they could bypass the lagoon, but it would need plumbing.
But then they have to put in a septic system for those two other properties.
It's got a mound, so they could just pump it to the mound instead of going to the lagoon.
What do you mean pump it to the lagoon? Doesn't have a mound.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's a mound after the lagoon as tertiary.
Oh, there is. So he plans on filling that lagoon in?
He told me it was going to be for storage.
The lagoon? Oh, to fill it in.
Mm-hmm.
Then be storage.
Right. And
you know, half in.
Yeah, in a perfect world, we like to see drawings before the work is done.
Yeah.
But he's already done some filling. So what you see before you there is really a sixth grade drawing of kind of the layout of the park.
Is this you? Is that your drawing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is what we use to count the number of mobile homes instead of using aerials, which is confusing. So basically, the largest number of units are along the far west side. There's five. You know, starting at the south end, two. North of that, there's two. There was one north of that, three, and then a total of six along that far northeast-west drive. And in the northeast corner, where there was 6 in June, he's gotten that down to 4. So there's a total of 23 units. Which, again, I think, you know, we're looking at that this as a positive step. He's got 5 more that he needs to remove in 3 weeks to meet his 18, no more than 18, by the end of August.
Is the top of the map, the top of the drawing north?
Yes.
Right, yep.
And then, Mark, the mound is, so the lagoon is on the far west side. So then if you come in just past that little lane there, the mound then sits to the top of that. So he wiped out, like, I don't know, 8 trailer spots and put that mound in many years ago.
So it's going into the lagoon first then they open
and then
from
to the mound.
To the mound.
Yeah, yep.
Jerry, through the permitting process, had Brandt represented that he wanted that hoop building for how he is using it, not how he told you he would use it, would you have issued the permit?
Well, the goal really is to remove units, and the application indicated it was to be used to dismantle hazardous material from mobile homes. So,
knowing that, knowing what we know, that he hasn't used it to that degree, I would take you back to that time when he asked you to do this. Would you be inclined to say yes then, or would you have?
Yeah, I mean, this then, you know, it's like an accessory structure for personal storage. Again, the zoning is commercial light industrial, so the actual mobile home park as a use is considered non-conforming. It was established before the county adopted zoning in 1958. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can have, like, an accessory structure, hoop building on a commercial light industrial district to be used for, like, personal use, like you would have associated with a residential district. The zoning deals with principal permitted and accessory uses. So principal permitted in a residential simple, it's a dwelling in most cases, and then the accessory structure would follow if would be permitted if you have that dwelling on the property. So it's probably something that couldn't even be approved for personal storage.
So who built
it? But for commercial storage, that would be something totally different than.
So what we've got is a hoop building that you couldn't prove he was using for dismantling, but you also could not prove it wasn't being used for it. I mean, he might have had a hoop in there or something like that, or some vehicles, but he could have potentially still been using it to take down trailers.
It's possible, yeah, and I, you know, it was
and that's
a phone conversation where he told me that it was used for vehicles. And
this is only a temporary?
Temporary.
Like, how long is temporary?
It's after the end of November, it's supposed to be gone. Actually, he's got 30 days after the end of November to remove it.
So what we have to do is we have to kind of focus what we want, okay? He's going to have piles around all that kind of stuff.
It's part of the process.
Right, it's part of the process. But what we have to focus on, it sounds like what you're saying is that we have to focus on the trailer's removal. Once the trailers are removed, then the hoop building has to go too.
Right. He's got 30 days after November 29 to remove the hoop.
And I think we should stick to that, and I do not think we should give him any more extensions. I think we're done on extensions. And on the end of this month, if he has 19 trailers, we issue a notice of violation. I mean, you guys, what?
Planning and Development Board or Health Department Board?
Well, this is the recommendation came from P&D.
Okay.
And unless there's something you want to add, I mean, I'm only just going to read from this, you know, as the recommendation.
I almost wonder if now is the time to turn this case over to the Board of Supervisors. Some of us kind of alluded to that it's no longer really a environmental health issue per se, it's more of a zoning issue. And if that's the case, then he should be showing up to the Board of Supervisors meetings instead of the Board of Health.
What do you think about some tax thing? What was this?
When he's going through what is that? Something for announcing a valueless trailer so that it weighs taxes. I can't think of the term right at the top of my head, but he has been doing that down in the treasurer's office with some success because these trailers would not be moving if he hadn't. Now, he's made himself current on all his own trailers, and I suspect some of those have been part of the sale process. I think clearly you're seeing progress. Is he where we want him to be? No, but I think he can see it from here much more clearly than he could before. And I think that we just, I sit there with the recommendation from Jerry's office and think that's pretty much where I would want him to go. And I think, not compassion, just said it rather well, that's where we just sit there and hold this process in place and said to let it work itself out. Margaret, I had never thought about it, moving it up one level in the sense that...
The downside to doing that, though I understand your request, uh-huh. and it would be kind of nice to get this off our table, uh-huh. but the thing that we perform very well at is we remember. Not all the information is in here, and we have an institutional memory for this.
Yes.
And I would actually be in favor of keeping it under our guidance and until it's done,
okay.
just because we have the institutional memory.
Well, he has to get five more by the end of this month. So what are we going to do if he only has two by the end of this month?
He gets a notice of violation.
Our department's going to do another site review before the end of the month.
Yeah, well, we'll have to.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've said.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, are hoop buildings not allowed on properties?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's allowed. Just what we're dealing with is a commercial light industrial zone district. And so anything new that comes to this property has to be something that's permitted in a commercial light industrial
right.
district. And, you know, Marty's question about could he have a hoop building or accessory structure for personal storage, it's not something that would be permitted outright. But if it were for, like, storage of other, like a warehouse, that's a potential. That's something that's could be a permitted use.
So they're allowed. They don't have to be a metal, steel building or wood pole.
Not necessarily.
So if you were putting all these, we keep talking about these steps and decks moving about that facility. If he were to put those in there, that would be, you'd be comfortable with that, saying that he's meeting the spirit of the application?
Possibly. I guess what is it for? Are they for sales? Are they located outside the road right away? Is there parking area established? We'd want to know a lot about the operation and movement of the item.
But
there'd have to be general
yeah.
site plan requirements.
But right now, the way it stands is after all the trailers are gone, the hoop building's gone 30 feet later.
Correct.
I think we should stick with that.
Yes, I think I would agree.
Give us a report at the end of August.
Yeah.
How many got? If the five more got taken out.
Yeah. Remember a long time ago in the land far, far away, they talked about selling the property?
Yeah.
Has there been any movement to selling the property? That's one of the things that he talked to this Board of Health about. That he was going to work on selling the property.
The attorney
said they were going to have an auction in June. That's how he was going to get paid.
Last year? Okay.
Obviously, that didn't happen.
Yeah, no. Unless he bought it back. So. Okay.
Got a few more site photos. I don't know if you want to see them. This is just the entrance. Looks like he's either selling or giving away log for firewood. There's the decks. They're still the same number, 15. They're in the southwest part of the site. Temporary hoop building, that's the west end. And again, it was all buttoned up. Couldn't really see inside it. So what we're going to show here, you don't really see a lot of mobile homes. It's just kind of other areas. Northwest part of the park. Units have been moved, so you got debris material. And I think he's trying to salvage some of it. So I think some of this is to be expected with what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the northeast part. Again, it looks like he's trying to collect same things and put them in piles. Here you've got tires, rims, blocks, different things. Northwest area. Actually, this is the northeast area. Campers, truck, semi-truck. Most of these are not licensed. And then this is the southeast area. And again, most of those were not licensed.
What is he doing for income? For a year now, he has not had any income.
His wife was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we have.
Is there a problem with the unlicensed vehicles?
Well, actually, you're permitted up to three inoperable and unlicensed per parcel for the most part. And there's more than that here, but I think some of these may be somebody else's item that he's storing for people. But again, this is part of
Team Four's potential. Where trailers go, the vehicles stay. What's your story?
What's that?
They say the trailers all go, and the vehicles are still.
Then we'll be dealing with the inoperable. It'll file into that notice of violation. You'll have 30 days to remove them. Okay. But again, he can have three. Our ordinance allows three.
Owned and non-owned?
It should be his, because then you kind of get into a situation where you're in like a warehouse, or it's referred to as like dead storage for other people's items.
Marty brings up a good point with that question. What's our end point with Crestview Mobile Home Park? What is our end point? That is made into a park, it's sold, he gets all the trailers off, and then we're done. Do we have an end point with this, or is this, I kind of wonder. What should be our input?
We talked about this long and hard, and I would concur that fact that, hey, Margaret, I'd like to leave that with the Board of Health, but that's just one guy's opinion. I think this is, you have the institutional knowledge here between you folks to handle this well, and you've done well up to this point. You're getting movement, and it's, you can see the end point. But I think, where do you define victory?
I don't think it needs to be answered today. But I think it's something we really have to kind of think about. What is our end point? Because is it filling in the pond? Is it taking all the mounds out? Making it so that you would make it into a dog park? I mean, really, what is our end point?
Plus, I feel like we have to protect his right as a property owner. He has to have some say in what that final product looks like. Because not everybody keeps it their property super tight, So
is it acceptable for us to ask him, what's your endpoint for this property, sir?
And I don't think he has to tell us that.
No, I guess he doesn't, does he?
As long as he gets the trailers off and he has no more than three vehicles sitting there, he can leave it just like that with three vehicles and all the trailers gone and the trees and whatever. It can just be.
Is that right?
I agree.
Well, then that's our end point.
Okay.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Okay. Right, because with commercial light industrial zoning, he could come in with a plan to do retail, light industrial uses, manufacturing, limited fabrication. There's a certain limit of things that he could do, but we would ask him to submit like a plan of action. Drawings to be reviewed by the entire department at Story County, and then determine from that what permits would be needed, whether it be septic permit or zoning permit, entrance permits, that type of thing.
But someone could buy that, and if he's all done, someone could buy it, fill it in, and ask for, make it into apartments or housing, right? Residential?
That would take a rezoning.
That'd be rezoned, yep. Right. But they could do that, go through that process.
Plus, he's close to Ames, you get annexed, too.
Yeah, he'll annex because the water is right there.
Well,
the
he'd have to.
Right there.
You guys wouldn't approve it because it's too close to the city. City utilities are too close. I mean, they're just right there, the sewer and the water. So he'd have to extend and get annexed into the city, probably.
Yeah, we would review a request to annex, but we would be working closely with the city of Ames the plan to transition from unincorporated to incorporated area.
And right across the way, the city denied that there be more apartments and stuff there. They didn't, which is just right across the street to the south. So,
okay. All right. So I guess if you don't have anything else to say for us, I guess our final word is, if I read the board correctly, is that we'll just keep with the plan and not give extensions.
This is an action item, so you really need something to make a motion.
Okay. So if it's an action item, then we, then I need a motion to approve the plan. And I would add into the motion that we would not extend any, I don't know, the amount. or make any more expansion.
But that's already voted on. Sorry, that approved.
Is that to restate it?
Yeah, that's already been approved.
So,
we need it. We better do
it. No, this is not that. This takes into account what they saw on the site visit.
So do you think we need.
Yeah, I know, but these are two here. But this one is right here.
This is another discussion on this.
Okay. We're going this
way. Okay.
We're sorry to interrupt, but we're just trying to get clarity here.
Yeah, John Kluge recommended that we really don't need an action item. We just need to just say, we need to say, okay, we agree with your plan. Is that
just,
an action
I just, call me the stickler on Robert's rules. This is listed as an action item. You can, it's, you have advised, you have, it is discussion and consideration.
Yeah. So it's not.
No, that makes it, yeah. In this world, that makes it an action item.
Well, it does.
Yeah, okay. We were just here to discuss. We can offer up a guidance, but all I'm saying is a simple vote. I was sitting here talking to Mark on the report that Jerry offered up out of his office. He has, two paragraph recommendation that if everybody has that before them, I encourage them to say that's a pretty good plan.
So that's our motion, that the two recommendations are approved. Okay.
Second.
Okay. Anyone have any further discussion?
Is there anything you'd like, any amendments to that? I would ask, with the conversation we just had, anybody else anything you wish to read into that motion?
I don't think we need to add into the motion the fact that we won't give any more extensions. We just have to remember. Yeah. We don't give more extensions.
Very good.
Okay.
Who seconded that motion?
I second it.
Okay.
Right. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Very good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, sorry, get on my reading glasses. Fernall, property owners with outstanding violations. Okay.
Well, it was a good idea, hey? Let's see. So that was Crestview. So the folks that I wanted to show up today, they are working. But I did get statements from them. So that's the route we're going to go at this point. Okay. So... I'm going to start with... I'll start with Donald Prathers, and that is the one that had the open discharge of sewage, and the way he handled that was to move everybody out. Okay, so the sewage problem basically went away, but then we had a vacant building sitting there. And so I pushed him to make a decision on which way he's going to go, either add a new septic system at this point in time or demolish the house, which he had discussed before. And he has contacted the Nevada Fire Department, Roy, and they are planning, so the asbestos folks will be here end of this month to get samples and see if they need to do asbestos removal. And then the fire department, Nevada Fire Department, will use it as a practice burn. Okay? So that, and then eventually he and his wife plan to move a modular home there. And then at that point in time, they will have to put their septic system in. And that way we don't have to keep revisiting this, seeing if there's people in the house living, that kind of thing. So, if he goes forward with these plans, this is beautiful. This is great.
Reasonable. Yeah. To the right of that bottom picture, is that a mobile home?
It's an RV, yeah.
Oh, and it's just an RV sitting there?
Yeah.
And
with
that?
Well, with the plug to the house, and he said, no, that's where he goes to get away. And so where is that going, there's a lot of questions, but hopefully when he goes forward with his plans, all of those questions will go away. Okay. So he wasn't here, but he wanted me to make that statement that those are his plans is a practice burn for the Nevada Fire.
So this is all going to happen in 2018 as far as the house?
Yes. Well, I will say that there were other plans that were extremely firm and they never happened. So I'm just saying.
I would think it would be just for our edification, just to find out if the Nevada Fire Department knows anything about this.
They do. Okay. I talked to them. Really,
This is on the tracks.
they have communicated. Yes, they have. Yes. Oh golly.
It'll be a practice for any such an umpire.
Good point. I know. I like it.
Well, they showed up eventually when somebody called.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so this is the property that's just next door to the east, and I don't know if you can see that real well. Maybe if you turn off those close lights, Stephanie, would that help see the pictures a little better?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That helps a bit. Actually Brenda Backoff owns it. Her dad is the one that always calls and talks to me. His name is Jimmy. And so he has tidied up this pile again. He keeps tidying it up, but it's never quite what I have in mind. So I want the Board of Health to sort of let me know if this is good enough or if he needs to do more.
So is this an empty property with just rubbish?
Well, it's a fire. It's the remnants of a fire, and yes. And so this was the property that was receiving the sewage from his neighbor. They are actually relatives, and there's a little friction there, apparently. So this is what's left. I should have looked up when it burned, but it's been several years, right, Marty? It's been several years since it burned, and they've never removed the burn debris.
It's not that house in the back.
No, that's the one that they're going to burn.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. Yeah, you're looking to the west through it. Okay. The Prather home. See, they're contiguous property. What you're going to hear about is three properties that are neighbor.
Yeah. Okay. And there are regulations that they have to remove this stuff?
Well, not really. You know, I mean, I consider it a nuisance. If I live next to that,
is that Rampart Ridge?
It can be. That's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on. But, you know, it's a little... And it can also, if kids trespass, it could be quite dangerous, too. But is it our job to make sure that people don't trespass, to keep them safe? You know, so it's a gray area as to whether or not this is truly a violation of our nuisance order.
Well, see, that's what I kind of wonder. It's like... If we don't have a law that says you can't have piles of rubbish.
Well, it's rat harborage.
But if you can say there are no rats in here. Or raccoons. You see where I'm getting at?
Awesome.
It would be really nice if you took it off away.
You return it to just a green space status?
Yeah.
Oh, you remove the foundation, just fill it in?
Yeah, bury it. I mean, that would be ideal, but can we make require that? And that's what I need help to fight on. Yep.
I wonder if this would be a cause to ask our legal department about whether or not we are overstepping our bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're doing this. The sewage thing, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. And the rat harborage, I understand.
Mm-hmm. But to actually see rats in that.
Yeah.
I can ask him, but all he has to work with is our nuisance ordinance. And some people come up with the same question.
And is it a nuisance if no one complains?
He's had complaints.
Oh, well, that answers the question.
Okay.
So if they've had complaints, that's it.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
So he does need.
You got another one you got to burn. So I don't know. Normally down south where I'm at, they burn houses down all the time. You get a dozer in and you
bury it.
Yeah.
Bury it, and you look if you got a cistern. You fill that in at the same time to be safe and cover it up.
Right.
I would take that stuff when they're burning and put it in that one and finish burning it down.
And I suggested they work together on this project because they're so close. He said, no.
That's my in-law. I don't get along.
If we have complaints against them, then it falls under the
news. Okay.
So then I'm going to turn to see the
They went to war on this because when that fire happened in that house, okay. It melted the siding on the crater.
And then,
if you were standing close, you'd be looking like,
And then this is the final one of the three. And what is happening here is it's a two-bedroom house, according to our assessor's records. And we got a complaint that the septic isn't right on this, that it has a tank, but it goes, he doesn't know where it goes, but it goes somewhere, he claims. This is the next-door neighbor that had the fire, but he cleaned up his area, Greg West. So, and then, Marty, you think there's people living in the garage also? Is that what you said?
That is a suspicion. As you can't tell from those pictures, but you're looking here at the top right hand are the north-facing garage doors. And what you have are blankets covering the windows.
Curtains.
Yeah. And Matt Corey out of Margaret's department actually turned in on a service of a letter to talk to the property owner where we don't know where she lives. Ended up having two road deputies serve it to him because he was a little bit leery about going into this setting because you have upwards of five young men living there.
And an aggressive dog, too. That was my biggest concern.
And we have. It's not in the very best circumstance, and we can't get any clarity because nobody will offer up any definitive answers. It's an unfortunate thing. We suspect that you've overcapacity the septic. There, you have people living in a garage, and that's what's before you right at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Is there any suspicion of any drug use going on?
One reason why the deputies wanted to go out is because they said they've been called out there on many occasions. I don't know if it's drug related or not.
Did wait for property. The title property under this property was the taxes were laid last year for her. Now, she's not made reapplication for it, but I think Margaret made mention of it in our previous meeting today that maybe it's because that she's been noticed in the sense that she might be accruing rental dollars from these people living there.
Yeah, you can't have your tax waived if you're renting out that property. So anyway, the letter was delivered to a gentleman that said that they would get it to the grandson of the woman who owns it. So we're still trying to get that letter to her, explaining, giving her the opportunity to prove that she has a septic system. And then if she doesn't do anything, then a notice of violation. But it's been pretty tough to contact this woman. The letters come back, even the registered letters come back to us. So hopefully that'll work. Like we were talking about this morning, I'm not sure how... if I'll have to bring a deputy with me to do the soils work out there.
Well, it sounds like you should.
I think I have to.
There's no question at all.
Yeah. Where is Fernald? Where is this?
Northeast of Nevada, so it's a Nevada address. It's a small town. Do we have a map here?
Is your house next to the garage, or is it just that garage?
It just is.
Okay. So,
it's on the bottom left.
It's a little tiny town just in the middle of nowhere, basically. It's by a co-op on a railroad. Yeah.
Right next to the top of here. I'm not sure the angles. You must be in the back somewhere.
So what are you guys talking about? Just set up.
We're just on perspective of where the pictures were taken.
Okay. So there's a garage and a house on this property.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both were from the road. I did not enter the property.
Okay. So there could be people living in the garage, which wouldn't be legal. Probably because they don't have plumbing or water or anything in there. They may go to the house and they're just sleeping there.
But there's a lot of cars. I guess one of the cars was registered in the name of the relative of the owner of the place. So that's...
So, thank you very much. So what's your plan?
My plan is give a couple months for this fire to happen. This one here, if I don't hear back from her, I don't know.
There's no sewage coming to the top of the ground anywhere, right?
I've not walked around back there.
Do you have a right to inspect if the given
if we
notice?
Have a complaint?
Yes,
yeah,
someone has a complaint.
Do we have a complaint?
We already have a complaint.
Yes, we do.
Then
yes.
You have that right.
So you have that right. So give them a couple months and get a couple sheriffs out there and inspect it.
Is the complaint on sewage?
Oh, it is. Okay. There you go. You got it. Yeah. You got a complaint. And then just make sure you bring a sheriff with you.
Of course, the other problem is there's really nowhere to put a septic system. There's nowhere to put a septic system. There really isn't. I mean, I don't know. You know? I doubt it. You know, I doubt they ever thought of this.
But before we go any farther, we have to have some type of inspection. So, okay. So I'd recommend you give them a couple months, just like you originally planned, and then go out with a deputy and look and see, and get a little bit more information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
That sounds
right. Okay. So that's for now. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Always interesting. Okay, ready. Shall we move on? Surrey County Public Health.
Pictures, thank goodness. Talk about diseases. I'm Sherry Zook. I'm covering for Teresa. Last, I submitted a report from Patsy Feezy Financial. I'm a public health nurse, so I was just going to talk a little bit about our enteric diseases. Our GI diseases are up, and they usually are up, but I wanted to mention Cyclospora, and we are coming to the tail end of it. 800 national cases. In Iowa and Illinois, there were 286 cases, and in Iowa, there was 176 cases. And unfortunately, 80 of the cases, not 80, were from McDonald's. It was the outbreak from the produce, the salads from McDonald's. And those were salads that were ate in late June and early July. And Story County had more than Polk. We had the most from any county. So Iowa Department of Public Health directed us, and they had a lengthy questionnaire. We interviewed 28 cases in our county, about 27, 28 cases in our county. Mm-hmm. Now, not every single one was McDonald's, but I'd say the majority were. And then we had our other diseases. I think E. coli came in second. But, and they were also saying, I went to an EPI update meeting 2 weeks ago, that PCR testing is up, the type of testing for Cyclospora. So we could have had these cases in the past, but the testing is up, as opposed to why we have so many cases this year. And TB cases are down, latent TB. We do have one DOT case, direct observation therapy case, we're starting this week. It's a new 12-week regimen, second time we're doing it, and it seems to have been successful if they can handle the medications. And then I'll start fit testing for N95 masks for respiratory, for public health emergencies, 10 to 12 nurses.
Very good.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You know that we've got a bunch of salmonella outbreak.
I do know
from
that.
Out of state.
Correct.
We think we've got it from. So do you guys handle that, or does the other state, which will remain?
Well, it kind of went back and forth. So Saturday, I got an on-call nurse called me, a doc called me from ER.
Right.
And said that they had 16 to 17 teens and three chaperones that went to a church in a different state. Okay. And they came back here, used the hospital in our county, salmonella positive. So then I called our EPI, and we were originally going to work on it, but this morning I found out that all of the cases that were positive for salmonella and those that went, because we were going to interview ill and not ill to find out the source, were from a different county. So that worked out well for us, not for the other county.
But the other county will be working on it as opposed to the other states?
Yes, sir. People? The other state, it's usually the county you live in that does the investigation.
Even if it got someplace, if they got it someplace else.
Correct.
Okay.
That's
thank
usually the
much.
Way it works. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Thank
you.
Okay. When you expect flu vaccines?
Usually, I wait to hear from the hospital. Usually, I know. It's always later than I want, but usually the end of August.
Okay. Great.
September.
Thank you very much. Okay, so YSS.
Good afternoon. So you received a couple things in the mail, as it were. One is, it's a report that we usually give to Prevention Policy Board every month, just stating all the things that we've done. So you have May and June, which I would not have had with me the last time. And May sort of tells you what we did at the end of the school year, and June sort of what we did during the summer. And all those summer activities, the different camps are wrapped up at this point. Our office looks like a camp blew up in it because all of the stuff is back in the office now. And now we're gearing up for school again. I'm starting to see a pattern. It just, you know, it ends and it begins almost immediately, or so it feels like. So we're contacting teachers and counselors about next week. There's sort of a window. They don't quite come back until about next week and start scheduling Project Alert and all the different things that we do. And at the university, I already have a lot of those classes scheduled. So that's, you know, business as usual. You also got the report that we just gave to the Board of Supervisors. Somebody handed that to me this morning. So that should look familiar, but that is a little bit better in terms of giving some of the trends that we saw in the programming that we did this last year, talking about the kinds of pre-post harms that we see, which we'll lean to that in a second. So that stuff is sort of self-evident. You can look at that at your leisure. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the Opioid Task Force continues to meet monthly, and so they have decided, and I may have mentioned this the last time, that they're going to be doing a series of educational seminars this fall. So the first one will be September 13th. The second one will be then in November. It's the second Thursday. And they will, all of them will be at the hospital in Bessie Auditorium, which is a really nice facility. Yeah, I have some concern. There's not a lot of level chairs. You know, it's not as handy as city council in terms of it's all on one level, but we will make do in Bessie. And there will be cookies. I don't think you should, you know, take that lightly. We're going to have treats at the last one. But the first one's going to be Peter Komodowski, who presented at the town hall that we did in January. And Peter is the director of the Partnership for Drug-Free Iowa. And he is a really good presenter. He will be talking really about what are opioids. And he's going to give the full picture and what we're seeing in Iowa and what we're seeing in the nation and why it's become such an issue. The second one's going to be more, for lack of a better term, testimonials. We have some people lined up who this has really impacted their life in a big way. And so
opioid epidemic?
Yeah, the opioid epidemic.
When is that going to be?
And that will be the November program, and which is the 8th of November. And I will be sending this stuff to you as I get it. The flyer's going to come out next week. We're going to get it at the meeting. So, but that's going to be more about, you know, how have these family, how did they get into it? What is their story? And there's a mother and son who spoke at Prevention Policy Board in June, and I think they're still slated to come and do that. So, and then there's somebody else as well.
Is there one to be before that too, before November?
September 13th is the first one.
And what time are those?
And they're all up from 7 to 8:30.
In the morning.
In the evening.
In the evening.
Not sure what kind of turnout we get at 7 in the morning. Not sure what kind of turnout we get at 7 in the evening, but I think our chances are a little bit better. And then in January, it's going to be all about treatment. It's like, okay, when you say somebody's going to treatment, what does that mean? You know, how long does that take? How much money? How do you get somebody there? You know, where is the available treatment? So it's just sort of a tutorial through, you know, what are opioids? What do they do to people's lives? How can you maybe back home? So I think that will be useful. I think that is a good use, I think, of the Opioid Task Force's time. And again, we have a lot of people on that task force that are just very knowledgeable and very involved in the community. And you know, we've had really good county and state support, and we're so appreciative of that. Because a lot of times task force come together and, you know, everybody's excited for the first 1.5 meetings and then they're away, and that's not been the case with this. So that's been good. You have another something? Any questions about that? I'm sorry. Okay. We talked a little bit the last time about what we're seeing in terms of quote-unquote medicinal marijuana in Iowa. Gave you as a color copy. I found some pictures of what are your very colorful and attractive looking dispensaries in Denver. mostly, I think, are those pictures. There are more dispensaries for marijuana in Denver than there are for Starbucks and McDonald's put together. So, and again, it started out, I'm sure, with very good reasons, you know, that it was going to be for only people who had AIDS or had cancer, and it was called compassionate use laws. But they found, as I am fearful we will find here, that as the industry expands, you have to have more people to support it. So this is what we found. The flip page was what Colorado saw within a very short period of time. They made it legal for medicine, as it were, in 2010. So before that, they had about 5,000 people that actually were getting some kind of you can't get a prescription per se, but you can get a recommendation. The first year that they made it legal, as it were, they suddenly had 116,000 people who were desperately ill. In that, as you can see, always dangerous 25 to 34 age group. So makes you glad you're not that young again. Clearly, that is tricky. Anyway, in Iowa, we currently only have a few hundred people who qualify for the current conditions that are you know, qualify under the law. One of the things that I try and look at other states and let them screw it up first. In Minnesota, and I may have mentioned this the last time, they just allowed it for sleep apnea, even though it's not recommended for sleep apnea. But if it costs several hundred thousand to have a license, we're going to have two manufacturers in the state who have a license. There are five dispensaries. 300 odd people are not going to be able to support that industry. So in Iowa, we're probably going to have to expand the number of conditions that are allowed for that to support the industry that we've just created. I mean, that's what's happened in almost every state. So just a word to the wise. And so in Colorado, what they found is there were very attractive sort of storefronts like this popping up very close to schools. So then they had to backtrack and make laws that said you couldn't have them within like 1,000 feet of schools. Which made people mad because they'd already set up their businesses. But and then, of course, there were, I think I mentioned this the last time, 115 municipalities in Colorado that just banned any kind of dispensaries within their city limits. So in working with the people in Colorado, they have been saying to us for a long time, this is coming your way, and this is something that you should think about. If you don't want to get behind this like we did, you should be proactive in terms of, if you don't want it in your city, if you don't want it in your county, you go ahead and you make yours a sort of drug-free zone up front before it gets to that point. So we always have to be preventative. What's that?
I stopped you there. 2 years ago, we were approached as the board of supervisors to come down against vaping.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any desire? I mean, you tell a compelling story. You don't, every 2 months, I have a growing pile of your marijuana narratives. You know, keep around because I got some friends that fell out of the 70s with me that were on one side of the fence while the others just want to tell them the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't, I mean, have you, other than, you know, being a fountain of information, why aren't you moving in that direction here to be proactive as to asking people to...
Well, if you want, I can do that.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just vaping was not, there was no compelling.
Yeah,
you know,
when we started.
Mm-hmm. When you did it, but you did it, and we to some notoriety and acclaim, but I'm just saying, it's just like the more meetings that you go to, and you come back with increasingly dire predictions of what the future holds. I'm surprised that you haven't got to the point where you were considering.
That we're doing that yet?
Yeah, you haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, are you going to do it? Are you considering
it? Well, that has certainly been a conversation with Prevention Policy Board, and when we come back together in September, I think that they're going to look at that again. So I cannot actually advocate for that myself within my position. It has to be the coalition that does that. I can only educate you.
The reason in our defense, and also Denise Denton's about the vaping, is the thing about vaping is that was a new thing that was coming out, and we didn't know anything about it.
Right.
So we really want to keep control of it right away. Mm-hmm. Marijuana has been around for a long time, and our society is still dealing, trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
One of our concerns about vaping is kids tend to use the vaping device as a marijuana delivery device because they don't have the smell, which is crazy.
You know, so I think a lot of, I think vaping tried to get it, my opinion is that vaping tried to get into society kind of under the radar.
Right.
And so part of what all these communities, including ours, was doing, saying, wait, we're not going to let it get out of the box. Marijuana's been out of the box for a while, and we've yes. been, and right now society is working on how to deal with it. I'm not a big fan of legalization. I have real strong opinions about what should be done with it, but I also am very well aware that there may be forces that are moving that we won't be able to help with, and that we're just going to do it. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, allowing states to decide whether they legalize it.
It's huge money. It's yeah. huge money. So yeah. I was putting forward to you that in places, you know, there are places where you can sort of draw the line. And a city could create an ordinance that would say not here, or a county could create an ordinance that would say we will not have dispensaries here, or we will not allow it in public here. And so many times it's, you may not be able to do the big thing, but you can do the little thing that, you know, together with other little things. So like in Colorado, they have a lot of cities that just don't allow it. You don't hear about those, though. And same thing, there was a survey that was done and said, you know, kids in Colorado really haven't latched onto this. But they didn't include the two largest high schools in Denver as part of that survey. So it looked like, you know, sort of whiz-bang statistics. So I want to bring this to your attention as a possible option in the future that hasn't worked totally in Colorado, but might be.
You know, we waited to ban fireworks in the city of Ames until fireworks became legal. And we waited until then.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if whether or not we would be able to ban something that's not legal yet.
But you can buy them, can't shoot them off in Ames.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But dispensaries are legal in the state.
Yeah,
you can sell them. Fireworks.
Oh, you can? You can buy them in Ames?
You can sell them in Ames for that short period of time. You can't shoot them off.
Okay.
If God decides they live in
you got to have a farm.
Every community has that choice, and they do adopt it, you know, accordingly. And we're talking about fireworks here, and I'm not chagrin that I can't believe of all the things that you can work out in Des Moines, you had to do that.
So I think we're going to have to wait to see what the state does before we do it. I understand what, you know, what Marty brought up and
well,
stuff.
Well, the thing is, you're sitting there, you're consuming this information every 2 months.
Yeah.
None of it is bending the curve other than the fact that my takeaway is the fact that you start looking at this in the quiet of your office and it's just like, oh, my God. And the narrative Denise is telling us, well, it's in Colorado, it's in 8 states, legalized for recreational use. It comes up every spring,
yep.
dies a miserable death,
yep.
but I think that at some point the hill will be climbed, and then we live in that time.
And then I think that's when we look into it.
Okay.
So there's going to be a webinar, I think, in October that is going to be able to tell prevention specialists like myself more about the cannabis dial law. But we do, I mean, they have put in place dispensaries. There will be 5 cities that have dispensaries. I think actually you probably could say that you would not allow one here. You know what I mean? Because I think eventually people are going to go, well, I can't drive to Sioux City. You know, I can't drive all the way to, what about those poor people in rural areas? You need to have more and more and more. And the more people that is, you know, decide that they have a condition that meets a criteria are going to make that kind of demand. So at this point, in Iowa, you can only do oil, you can do Marinol, and Sesamet you've been able to do forever. That's the pill form, and they've been legal for 30-odd years.
No.
Smokable is not legal at this point.
What is it?
Smokable forms
right.
of marijuana.
And also edible is not. And remember that cannab oil is a special type of component from marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
And that is not, when people talk about medicinal marijuana, they talk about people smoking it to relieve anxiety, eating it, things like that. But just plain marijuana. But what we're talking about, what the law stated, was that these chemicals that were distilled from marijuana could be used for these medical purposes. So if you ban a legal drug from this community, I don't know, I have a hard time with that. You know, a legal drug that's being prescribed by physicians, or people have to be certified to get this medicine by physicians.
Being the cannabis oil.
Yeah, the cannabis oil. They have to be certified by physicians.
Well, I don't think you, just as in Iowa, you could use it, you just couldn't buy it here.
Right.
Before.
Right.
So in Colorado, it was legal to use anywhere.
Right.
But certain municipalities banned
the recreational use.
No, they banned a dispensary within their city limits.
You know, see, you know the thing about most of the people, I'm going to argue with you a little bit about this, but most of the states that have gone to legalizing marijuana have tried the medicinal marijuana thing, where people wanted to get a prescription to smoke marijuana for their glaucoma. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about cannabis oil.
I can't even say cannabis oil.
That's what we're talking about, which is a completely different issue. It does not apparently make you high. There are some studies that are coming out that it does help with some forms of seizures. So there is a medicinal reason for it. So all of a sudden, let's just say our neurologist at Mary Greeley Medical Center, who is an epileptologist, we ban a dispensary in Story County. So he says, you know, really, I want you to try this, but you got to go out of county. I'm kind of having a difficult time with this. And most states who went to just plain legalization have tried the medicinal marijuana, and all these places popped up, and these people said they were physicians or they got some type of license, they were signing prescriptions left and right, and they said that's a joke. So let's just legalize it and tax it and control it.
That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah. They want to legalize it, they want to control it, and they want to tax it. I understand that issue, but I think we're dealing with something else. I think we should address this issue when it comes up, but I think I don't think we're there yet.
I accept that.
As a doctor, can you prescribe cannabis for somebody?
Yeah, I actually have to get certified.
Oh, you do?
I got to get a little card, but I decided not to do that.
But doctors can prescribe
cannabis.
What?
One of the tricky parts, I will say, is at one point the Iowa legislature was looking at putting through legislation that said there was no limit on the THC that could be included with the CBD.
Right.
And there is actually no science that says you need THC with the CBD to make it effective.
Yeah, right.
But
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So you could, I don't know.
Conceivable.
Yeah. So I did, the white paper I gave you when I was here the last time speaks to that maybe. I don't know if it's in there or not, but I can get you that information if you want.
You know, the people that were advocating for the vaping, they knew darn good and well that they were going to be able to get this marijuana into that, and that's why they were pushing to get that. Okay.
There's a chance they know each other.
They knew. It's the camel's nose, because clearly if you're talking about a medicinal delivery of something that has
smokeable, it's just right
then,
there.
You know, when you get to the recreational side, folks, the Cheech and Chong component is where it's just like, okay, I want you to be able to see this coming out of Casey's or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have to address it sometime. And I think there will be a time, and I'd be all in favor of banning dispensaries in this county if they legalize it. So, but
nice greenhouse for my wife's market, so I can have a second income.
Oh, it's a moneymaker. Then my last thing is, we have good news, bad news. This might not be my problem for long. The Iowa Department of Public Health has for some years now said that they're going to open up all prevention, what they call the comprehensive prevention grant, for competitive bid. In other words, there's always been sort of a gentleman's agreement, you know, Youth and Shelter Services has the comprehensive prevention grant for Story and Boone County. Community and Family Resources has it for 8 counties, Fort Dodge and up in there. They are going to do away with all that very soon. And they've been sort of threatening this. I think we've been doing this for about 3 years at this point, where it will now be one entity will have the contract for all prevention, treatment, and gambling together. And YSS will be in competition with anybody else who wants Story in Boone County. And now they said it really, really is going to happen by this December. So come December, YSS will either have that grant or they won't. We have not received the RFP yet. We don't know what that looks like. But we are now just on our, what we think, what we're told is our last extension, six-month extension. So in other words, we've had to rewrite this grant every 6 months for basically the last 3.5 years, which is not a whole ton of fun. So that would probably, if we did not get the grant, all the stuff that I talked to you about will probably go away from us. And some other entity would have it.
Who would else would have it?
Community and Family Resources will be up against us for this grant.
Who will be?
The Community and Family Resources.
Okay.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they have 8 counties already. And if we get it, then we suddenly have 8 more counties, which we would subcontract back. Well, I don't know what we would do. I shouldn't make that statement. But I'm not sure how we would be up and running with 8 more counties overnight.
So you guys might have some changes coming down.
They might have some changes coming down. We are probably going to come to you and say, hey, can we have a letter of support from the Board of Supervisors, the way we always ask for that, and from the Board of Health.
Oh, yeah.
But just so you know, I might not be here after December because that's my job. A big chunk of my job comes out of that grant. A big chunk of lots of people's jobs come out of that grant. So it'll be interesting, that, you know. We'll see.
Well, please keep us informed.
We will. Anyway.
Might I just say it'd be hard to not have you here every year.
Thanks. It'd be different.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. So, last but hardly least is Story County Environmental Health.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity to talk again. So we'll get started here with Wells. And Marty, I apologize again for you having to hear this a second time today. Quiz you on it later. So well permits, 8 for this year so far, 12 pluggings, 1 cistern, 0 rehabs, 112 water samples, and 20 time of transfer inspections, which adds to the water sampling. Our budget on lab has been really high lately because we're doing more testing than plugging, I believe. And then also the arsenic testing, we're doing that quite a bit more, and that bumps up the cost as well. However, that is covered by the grant. This fiscal year, we spent our entire amount of the grant money. And so for this year that we're in right now, were promised a grant, the paperwork to be coming for the same amount, $30,600, and then that's what we talked about you signing later on. As an example of the value of this program, this well is on R70, kind of down by the SQ bridge down there, and I always enjoy driving by it and looking at it, and I always thought it was high and dry. Well, this rain made it such that it's not high and dry, and that whole field there was row crop, and so you can imagine what was put on that field and quite possibly getting down that well. So that well has to be plugged. There might be a way to keep that windmill on top of it, but that well has to be plugged. And unfortunately, I do believe, well, it is in the county right-of-way, road right-of-way, so I don't know if that's ours to take care of or the property owner. But it was just like, oh, no, you know, seeing all that water sitting over top of that well head.
This is ours. And the takeaway from the meeting this morning was when we got this with Secondary Roads to do the determination of where, in fact, this well, where it would lie. So if it needs done, we will do it. If not, we will insist the property owner do it.
Here we are with septic systems. We're slower this year than last year. So far we've had, about 55, 59 septic permits. Got 2 calls today, so 2 more coming in. Septic inspections, 32. That's for the time of transfers. So, just a little bit slower this year. And this is just a show and tell. This is a distribution box that goes after your septic tank and before your laterals, and it splits the flow evenly, so it's so you get even distribution, use all your laterals. The old tanks that went in, they were concrete, and they all disintegrate, and so now they're replacing them, and they have been for a good little while, with plastic, with these levelers, so that if you have a cattywampus box, you can still get even distribution. It's a nice product. Pool tattoo and tanning. One pool closed, three positive for bacteria, and then they've all been inspected for 2018 fiscal year. The state is coming up with a new annual report again this year, so I haven't submitted that annual report, but I will when that form is available. And Matt got in there and got all of the outdoor pools done lickety-split, so it was we were able to make sure the pools all started off safe, the outdoor ones. Three pools positive for bacteria. Sherry, do you have any people that come in and you learn that they've been swimming after having diarrhea or anything?
Yes.
Yeah. And does that report go to the state then, or how
we
does...
We enter it into IDES and it goes to IDPH.
Okay, okay, okay. Let's see, tattoos, they've all been inspected, and tanning. Kathy mentioned that there are all the new apartments in Amesville, a lot of them are offering a tanning bed for the students to use. And Kathy's going to work with the city to make sure that those get their permits from the state, and we get in there and get those inspections done. You know, they're tricky. They just all kind of sneak in on you. There's such a flood of them this time. So for special projects, Squaw Valley South decided to go with the group treatment plant, and so they've published their anti-degradation thing that their engineer did up. Fox Engineering wrote that for them, and they are not going with individual systems. Fernald, we already talked about. Crestview, we already talked about. Cameron Estates erosion control and Iron Bridge erosion control. I've got some pictures coming up on that. Failing mounds, and then I also issued a notice of violation to an installer because they didn't call us to report, or they didn't call us for a final inspection, so it went in the ground without us being able to see it, no squirt test or anything. So he had to open it back up and show us what he had. This is Cameron Estates erosion. Discussed this numerous times through different phases of the subdivision. This time I called directly to DNR field office, and they came out and inspected and agreed and gave them a notice of violation. And like overnight, the subdivision had erosion control in place. It's amazing. Iron Bridge subdivision erosion, same thing. This is the one that was going to be in county, but the county was being more strict than the developer wanted, so they asked Huxley to annex it. So, but they are still on septic, so I was out there looking at it, and you know, the top right one, maybe if you could turn that light off again, Steph, sorry. It's just like a whole bunch of soil right there that's now gone, and it's not in the street, so it's probably in the water and, you know, heading toward the Gulf of Mexico. And top left, a septic tank left with the tops off, and it was filled with muddy water. Very dangerous for children. There's children playing at the house right next door to that. Just crazy dangerous, bad, and a lot of erosion. So again, called Field Office 5, and DNR went and inspected and issued notice of violations, and bam, they got a bunch of erosion control out there. So it's working, you know. They listened to DNR. This is our failing mound. In my opinion, it was too small. And then also there's some issues in the tank. We Matt collected a sample. Matt gets all the bad jobs, I'm here to tell you. But he collected a sample to bring it, and we sent it off to the lab. And it was out of the realm of normal, but not too bad off. But it's just not acting like a regular tank, normal septic. So we're working on that. And meanwhile, they're getting a permit, and they're getting a contractor lined up to replace this. We did conceptual reviews for Finkel, Rolling Acres Dog Breeding, Kimberly Subdivision, and I'll have to revisit Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast. They are just going Raspberry Hill. It was going to be a DNR system, and instead they are just using what's existing there because they're only doing part of their project. So I'm going to have to just work with them and make sure they're not outside the size of their existing system. Finco, they're tree removal folks, and so it was a business permit. And without going into a lot of detail, the silver lining is that now they're not burning wood that they're not supposed to be burning on that site, because I just happened to be doing soils on a property just east, and she said, "Oh my gosh, it's just been awful." But she was afraid to complain. But he would burn all this yard waste from other people's yards because that's his business. Every day he'd have smoke, you know. So that's cut back. So that's really nice that's happened. Trainings and meetings, KUPCOG. I got my CPO certification, 2 days worth. Kathy sat in or listened to the bed bug webinar, which was good, and then Matt listened to some pump webinars. I'm still on the IOWWA board, so that meets monthly. And I thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay. Anything else? Any questions for Margaret?
No.
While she's up there? Okay. Great.
Thank you.
As we move along, I think that's the end of our agenda. So now, before we ask for an adjournment, any comments from staff? Final comments? Okay. Any comments from board members? May I just say that after the Marshalltown tornado, boy, did that bring up the importance of everything you're doing.
That's
what made me send that email out.
Worst case scenario that the hospital and the police department were hit in that town, right where you would have been doing a lot of the operations.
I know. It really is like, talk about, oh my gosh, this is why we have to do this. And they had, a 10-minute warning.
Yep.
It wasn't much.
Yep, not much at all. And it's amazing that no one died.
What about Pella? I think all those people are out of town at the Vermeer plant. Yeah.
I know, but they got in shelters.
I know.
Someone should study those shelters. Those are obviously.
Yeah, a lot of foreigners and out of town people. 500 and some people there.
Oh, really?
I'd just like to comment that I said on about the minutes that I said nay to the minutes. I should have abstained because I didn't get a chance to read the minutes. No one objects to that.
Amend the record.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's my comment.
Thank you.
And you're still president.
Okay, what?
You're still the chairman.
I guess. That's what you said. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay. Well, if no one else has anything else to say, I'll take a movement to adjourn.
So moved.
Sorry. Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And none are opposed, so we're adjourned. Thank you very much.